Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. We're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and NBA at FanRag Sports, College Hoops at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, Bulls writer at FanRag Sports and host of the 312 podcast. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Say what's up to us. Save this number in your phone as Locked On Bulls, 331-979-1369. That's our text and voicemail line. If you're listening to the show, you've got some thoughts, ideas, questions, send that through via text. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do that too. 331-979-1369 is that line. So we got a real short episode for you today leading you in this weekend. Bulls basketball tonight going up against the Celtics. We'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the show and the news about Kyrie Irving. Pitch it to our friends at Locked On Celtics for a little bit of an insider look at what's going on with them and what it means for the Celtics. But Matt, to kick off the show, I wanted to talk about an article that you had written this week. A little bit of a conversation I don't think is happening in Bulls circles right now, but maybe should be, and that's about Denzel Valentine. So how are you? And give me a little insight on this Denzel Valentine and what you came up with as far as maybe he's got a shot at a starting role next year.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, the big news with Denzel over the past week is that he was the most recent Bulls player to be shut down for the season, having a arthroscopic surgery to just do some touch-up work around that the same left knee that he had surgery on when he was still with Michigan State his senior year back in 2015. He sounds like he's not at all worried about the long-term issues with this, and in a season when the Bulls aren't fighting to make a playoff spot, figured he wanted to just get this procedure over with as soon as possible so that he could start his rehab as soon as possible and get back to improving his game this offseason. And when talking to the media after the news came that he'd be shut down, not only was he expressing confidence in the fact that this knee injury is not going to slow him down, but talking about how he wanted to be he plans on being a starter next season, which I thought was interesting. And I'll just read a quote from Denzel's media appointment earlier this week. He says, "I feel like I should have a bigger role next year. I definitely should be a starter coming in. I definitely want to improve and be a for sure starter. I think I can be a consistent player at this level, be somebody they can rely on, somebody who defends, makes shots, makes plays for others, plays the game the right way, and is a competitor. So I definitely think I'm a starter in this league." So he basically said three times over that he thinks very confidently he deserves to be a starter on this Bulls team next season, which I thought is, you know, obviously, and everybody wants to start. Everybody who's in the NBA wants to believe and prove that they're the kind of player who can play in a starting role, and not just that, but a starting role on a contending team. And his teammate Markkanen was just talking yesterday about how he's looking forward to the Bulls getting back to the playoffs as soon as next season. So I just looked at some of the numbers, and obviously Denzel has made significant improvements in his second season. And notably, the most interesting thing that I found is that he shoots better, more efficiently, and scores more when he's a starter as opposed to coming off of the bench. When he was he split his time, 40 games coming off the bench, 37 starts this season for Denzel. In 40 games as a bench player, he shot 39.8% from the field and 36% from downtown, and a true shooting percentage of 50.1. In his 37 starts, that rose to 43.8% overall, 41.3% from downtown, and 55.3% true shooting percentage. So there's something there. The fact that Denzel all season long shot the ball a lot more effectively when he was starting as opposed to when he was coming off the bench.
Yeah, I like him too, and I like the confidence that he has in his game and saying that he feels like he should be a starter on this team. My biggest question is like, okay, going into next year, if the Bulls have, I don't know, opinions on him starting next year, like, how does that play out with Zach LaVine and Denzel Valentine? I just always worry about the defensive side of the ball, and you've got an undersized, I don't know, guard slash forward in Denzel Valentine. I know he's listed at 6'5", 6'6". I don't know if he's that tall. You've got LaVine, who can't even play defense at the two. If you try to slide him over to the three, I don't know how well that works. Believe me, I think Denzel Valentine has rewarded himself enough in the improvements he's made from his rookie season to this year. He's a viable 22 to 27 minute guy. And I feel like his role off the bench with that second unit has been fantastic. Him and Bobby Portis next year, if Bobby Portis still stays coming off the bench, could be a great tandem of scoring and pop that you need off a bench. And so I don't know about the starting position. We'll have to see. I can't see that really working out long term, especially like what I said with LaVine and Valentine both trying to play defense. I just don't know how that would work. I got to give credit. Like I said, I think the ceiling on Denzel Valentine right now is like a sixth man and being one of the better six men in the NBA coming off the bench with the second unit. So if he can get to that range, that would be awesome. The only thing that scares me is I remember hearing a scout when he was coming out of college and just talking about Denzel's knees and the wear and tear that he's had and now undergoing the surgery again. He said he'd be lucky to make it to 30 with a healthy career. He said he's a great basketball player, great mind, but he'd be lucky to make it to 30 in the NBA with a healthy career and healthy knees. So that worries me a little bit, but if they can find a role for him somewhere on that second unit, I don't see it right now as a starter, and I don't know if that would mess with what he's put together this season. So I don't know. It's definitely a viable option for next year, but I have to imagine that what the Bulls are going to do in the draft and coming up this summer and maybe looking to draft a wing or two wings possibly, or trading for something, that's probably going to put Denzel Valentine's hopes for a starting role this season maybe into question. So look for him to just have another good season. I think if my goals are setting for Denzel Valentine next year, my goals are for him are coming off the bench, doing exactly what he did and building upon this impressive turnaround, especially offensively, this year, and turning it into something nice next year, and maybe developing some chemistry with Bobby Portis with that second unit.
Yeah, I think that's the key that you just touched on there, and it's something that John Paxson and Fred Hoiberg have both stated repeatedly this season, and Paxson again as recently as a chat with Chuck Swirsky on Bulls TV that's up on the Bulls website that was just from a few days ago. And Paxson said like he really likes Valentine and Portis anchoring that Bulls bench, and I think that's where Valentine is best suited. Credit to the kid for wanting to prove that he has what it takes to start in this league, but I think his bosses see him as far as his best role as a guy coming off of the bench. And credit to him for doubling all of his stats across the board as his minutes rose from 17 per game last season to 27 this season. He doubled his points. He nearly tripled his assists. He doubled his rebounds. He's done a lot of good things, but there's still holes in his game. You mentioned some of the question marks about, you know, what the Bulls would do in the 1, 2, and 3 spots defensively if you were to put Valentine in that starting lineup. That's an issue. Another issue is that as much as we've seen him improve as a shooter this season, he still is not that versatile of a scoring option. We've seen him, you know, handle some ball handling duties, and he can be a distributor, but he can also make some pretty dumb, you know, face palming turnovers when he's trying to do too much, and he still can't get to the rim. He's not athletic enough, and it's just not a part of his offensive game. I went and crunched some of the numbers about Denzel Valentine's free throw attempt rate this season, and it's laughably bad. 51 free throw attempts for Denzel having played 2,095 minutes this season. Over 2,000 minutes and 51 free throw attempts. You break that down, that's 1.2 free throws per 100 possessions for Denzel. Of every NBA player that has at least 1,000 minutes logged this season, that qualifies as the third worst. Third worst in the NBA as far as free throw attempt rate for Denzel. He just can't do it. He can't get to the rim. He can't draw fouls. It's not a part of his game. So he needs to work on that this offseason. And unless he makes a big jump coming in and the first looks that we get from him next season, I just don't see him as a credible option in the starting lineup because that is still a glaring weakness to his game.
If you look at defensive box plus minus for Denzel Valentine last year and this year, he was a zero this year. He was negative 0.3 last year. So defensive box plus minus, for those who aren't big into the analytics, it's a box score estimate of the defensive points per 100 possessions a player contributes above a league average player. So translated to an average team. So right now, Denzel Valentine's defense this year was average. Completely average on an average team in the NBA. So take that and add that to...
Well, I wouldn't call the Bulls defense average. I would call the Bulls defense subpar.
Denzel Valentine, if you pair that with Zach LaVine, like you just take a look at Zach LaVine's defensive box plus minus, he was a negative 2 just in the games that he played this year. Last year, he was a negative 2.4. The year before that, negative 2.4, and his rookie season, negative 2.7. So, obviously, a lot of places have Zach LaVine as like one of the worst defenders in the NBA right now. Hopefully, he can turn that around. But yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping Denzel Valentine, he continues to strive to be an NBA starter in this league, and that'll only improve his game. But I'm really looking forward to what he's going to do off the bench for the Bulls next year, especially if they take a wing in the lottery. We're going to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls, but when we come back, just want to recap a little bit about what the Bulls are going to do this summer and what the players had to say about bonding and the culture that they're trying to build and what the importance of this summer is going to be. Stay with us here on Locked On Bulls. All right, Matt, so as we come back, obviously, for the fans, this is an important summer. We know the front office, this is a hugely important summer for this rebuild. And for the players that are going to be here long-term, that we hope are going to be here long-term, this is an important year. And the Daily Herald had a article that came out on April 4th, so just a little bit earlier this week. Mike McGraw wrote about how the Bulls players were making plans for summer bonding, and we said this was going to be important in terms of the chemistry that this team is going to have, and hopefully Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, and Zach LaVine all get together at some point this summer and start developing some chemistry. But it seems like the glue players, the players that maybe have surprised us this year, Denzel Valentine, Bobby Portis, some of those guys seem to be the guys that are trying to hold this all together and build this culture up. So this quote coming from Bobby Portis, it said, "This summer we're all going to connect somewhere, whether it's in Miami or LA, wherever it is. Even here, we're connecting and working on our chemistry even more." He said, "That's going to be big for us going into next year. We have high standards set already. We have a culture built here, and we want to win, so that will be big for us." Portis also confirmed jokingly that his hometown of Little Rock, Arkansas is not under consideration for summer workout base, but he wouldn't mind if some teammates came for a visit. So obviously Bobby Portis loves his hometown, loves the state of Arkansas, stayed there to play basketball, of going to big blue blood schools. But it's really cool to see kind of these guys understanding the importance of this summer and the 3-4 months that they do get off, that they're going to have to travel a lot and try to take their relationship that's been on the court and maybe in the locker room and traveling in year one and take that to the next level. So I'm really encouraged on just hearing some of these players talk and how they're already making plans to meet up this summer, work out and develop some chemistry and just hanging out and taking that relationship on the court, off the court, and taking it to the next level.
Yeah, I think that obviously is something that is going to be hugely important for the Bulls this offseason. And I would even extend that to, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these guys go down to Summer League and hang out and watch this, whatever the Bulls Summer League roster ends up being. And, you know, I guess as a team and as an organization, they'll decide whether they want Lowry to participate in that as a second year player or if they would rather get him the rest coming into training camp. But, you know, maybe like a healthy Antonio Blakeney, whoever it is that the Bulls are taking, assuming they use both of their first round picks, both of those young players in Summer League, because we saw a lot of these guys do that last season. After the Jimmy Butler trade, Zach LaVine was there at Summer League watching these kids. And in a similar way to what Rajon Rondo did when he came on board as a free agent two summers ago, you want to see that team camaraderie start to build from the earliest stages of a fresh season. And I think trying to continue to build that chemistry and build those friendships off the court, being together for Summer League, I think could do a great deal in moving that along. And there are no more awkward situations in the locker room now. It's not the Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade show where they're the diva veterans who don't really want to hang out with the kids and don't respect the kids. There's not the Bobby and Nico tension that controlled this team and the locker room and all of those stories at the beginning of this season that's coming to an end. They have a great opportunity for a young group to rally around one another, welcome in the new kids in the draft by helping them out and watching them play and investing time, showing interest in their games and their development in Summer League, and then moving on from there. I think it's a summer that has a lot of positive possibilities for this Bulls team as they hit the second year of this.
I think another cool thing to notice too, just from an outsider, as far as a player's standpoint, an outsider's perspective, is Sean Kilpatrick had a couple quotes on just the tight-knitness of this group, of this Bulls team, especially late into the season, where like the Bulls have gone through stretches, like 6-7 game losing streaks, guys that are sitting out that you wish were playing like part of the core group. So you're asking for guys that don't normally get an opportunity, especially late. And it's cool kind of seeing it not be divided as a locker room, where you would think a lot of these guys are out for trying to compete and stay in the NBA and competing for a job and a look, but more so it's more of a tight-knit group. And this is what Sean Kilpatrick had to say. And he just came in, you know, about 10 days ago, 7-10 days ago, and he said, this is probably one of the closest teams I've ever been on. They just want to see everybody do well. I think that's something that's really exciting about this group. He said, this is probably one of the first teams I've been on where we'll all come from practice, and the next thing you know, we're at each other's houses. For me, I'm in a hotel, so I go to everyone else's house. I think it's actually pretty cool that they invite you over and say, what are you doing today? If you're not doing anything, come over and watch the game. The article just reads, Kilpatrick said he watched the Final Four with Portis and Blakeney. He already knew Portis fairly well because they share the same agent. So pretty cool from an outsider's perspective of just like how somebody comes into a locker room and they can already see the connection and stuff built, especially after what happened early on in the season with the whole Nico Mirotic and Bobby Portis fight. It's like complete 180 from what we saw at the beginning of the season, days before the tip-off of the regular season, to the last few games here at the end of the season. So it's pretty cool. Just like, don't take it from me or you. Take it from Sean Kilpatrick, who's coming to the locker room.
Yeah, and you know that somewhere John Paxson and Gar Foreman both have shit-eating grins on their faces because we're talking about the positive culture that's going on with this young Bulls core right now.
Got to give credit where credit's due, I guess, right?
Hey, you're right, and you said it. As far as, could not have been a worse start to this season as far as building that positive culture when one of your teammates knocks out another one of your teammates. But they have an opportunity to really form a strong bond together this offseason. We'll hope that happens.
I think we talked about it, like the guys, and wondering where the leadership is going to come in this hierarchy, like especially in the next 2 or 3 years. We talked about Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine maybe having a battle to see who the initial leader is. But I think the more and more you start reading quotes and you listen to guys in the locker room, I think that's how Valentine and Bobby Portis really have stepped up, is sort of those secondary leaders, those quiet leaders in the locker room. Obviously, they're giving quotes and talking about what they want to do to develop the chemistry, but I don't think anybody ever really thought Bobby Portis would be the type of guy to try and build a strong, positive culture after what we saw at the beginning of this season. And like we said, I think he was pegged wrong back then, and people didn't really know the full story. And maybe like if people figure out what Portis is in terms of the player and the person he is, he's kind of building that back up. His reputation is getting better. And just some of these quotes, taking some guys underneath his wing, like Kilpatrick, obviously having the connection with his agent, but sort of a new guy coming into the locker room, taking him under his wing, taking Antonio Blakeney under his wing as he comes up and down from his two-way contract. So just really cool things to see, and good things you want to see from a tanking team. And this is only the first year, which is crazy. I think there's a lot of positivity to be built up just from these players in Encore. Whatever you want to talk about the losing streak and falling out of the top five, things that are out of you and I's control, but what is in control and what's going into the future. I think this is really cool from an off-court standpoint. And I got to believe that if these guys are tied off the courts, then it's going to translate onto the court. And more often times than not, it does.
If Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday both move on this offseason, you know, and maybe one of them or maybe both of them stick around for at least the first half of next season, when those two guys who are not really meant to be around long-term for this new team move on, because as much as you can praise Bobby Portis for being a guy that people have been rallying around and a guy who's made himself available to newcomers on this team, and as much as you talk about LaVine and Dunn making those next steps to become the leader, Lopez and Holiday were the leaders this season. So when they're gone, that's when the true test comes. Can LaVine and Dunn figure out a way to step up? One of them becomes the leader. Maybe they find a way to lead together, whatever it may be. But they didn't really, other than talking about leadership, they were following the lead of veterans who are well-liked and well-respected in this league in Holiday and Lopez. So when those two depart, that's when the real test of whose team this is and how they lead will come into play.
So we're going to take one more quick break here on Locked On Bulls. We're going to talk about the breaking news that has happened and the story that's been kind of forming waves across the NBA about Kyrie Irving of the Boston Celtics. Also give you a quick preview of tonight's game as the Bulls take on the Celtics. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media, on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck, and on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls. Stay up to date with everything Chicago Bulls at LockedOnBulls.com, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts.
All right, Matt, to wrap up the show, obviously got to talk about the biggest news in maybe the NBA over the last 24, 48 hours, and that's the announcement that Kyrie Irving is going to miss the entire playoffs.
John Corrales here from Locked On Celtics to talk about the breaking Kyrie Irving injury news. He is going to have surgery on his left knee to remove screws that were implanted in 2015 when he fractured his patella. Now, you might remember a few weeks ago, he had surgery on that same knee to remove a supporting wire that was also part of that same injury. Now what they have found is an infection at the site of the screws. So they're going back in. They're going to take the screws out. They're going to clear up the infection. The Celtics say his knee is structurally sound, but it's going to take 4 to 5 months for everything to recover and for him to get back to playing basketball. The Celtics' focus has always been on next season, especially after the Gordon Hayward injury. But now they definitely will not have Kyrie Irving back for the playoffs. After the initial surgery, they had thought maybe he'd return at some point in the first or second round. Now that is out. So the immediate impact for the Boston Celtics is Terry Rozier is probably going to move into the starting point guard role, a role that he has served well for the Celtics so far in Kyrie's absence and in Marcus Smart's absence. They hope to get Marcus Smart back at some point in the first round. He's had that thumb surgery to repair a torn tendon, so hopefully for the Celtics that he comes back, but immediately they will not have Kyrie Irving for this playoff run. It's going to be tough getting out of the first round for the Celtics. If they do and they get to a second round, that's going to be especially difficult. So I'm sure teams are going to start lining up hoping to play the Celtics in that second round. That specifically would be Cleveland. Long term, they say the knee is structurally sound and they hope to start next season with a healthy Gordon Hayward and a healthy Kyrie Irving. And the Celtics' priority has always been that. So we'll see how that goes, but right now there's no further damage. It's not another injury. It's not a separate thing. It's all part of the same thing to clear up what they had done to fix his knee in 2015. And this should remove every apparatus that was in there. And once that's out and healed and the infection is gone, Kyrie Irving should be good to go. We'll see. That's the breaking news. I'm John Corrales from Locked On Celtics.
So no Kyrie Irving, no Gordon Hayward. Your initial thoughts?
Yeah, it's a bummer. Just as someone who's been anxiously looking forward to the NBA playoffs and hoping that a healthy Kyrie would be a factor for the Celtics as they try to be the first team in a while to dethrone whatever team LeBron's playing for to get out of the East and into the NBA Finals. I think this puts a huge dent in the likelihood that the Celtics can beat the Cavs or the Raptors, however those top half of the Eastern Conference seedings shake out. It's really unfortunate because you thought when this first happened back in March that the Celtics were optimistic that he could come back, maybe not in time for the first round of the playoffs, but if the Celtics made it to the second round, that he could come back and be a factor. And, you know, it's just awkward that you and I were talking about which injured player making a comeback could have the biggest impact on the playoffs. Just as in yesterday's episode, and we recorded that right before this Kyrie news hit. So we were talking about it yesterday, and here we are. Now we know for sure, no Kyrie. And to me, with the, you know, the less than stellar display we've seen from the Raptors in recent weeks, and now this news, and still I'd say an outside shot at best that Gordon Hayward comes back and does anything for the Celtics. It doesn't matter where the Cavs end up being seated, whether they're third or fourth, unless the upstart Sixers shock the world and prove that they are playoff ready enough to beat a LeBron James led team. It's going to be the Cavs in the finals.
Yeah, I think the Celtics have to be worried about a possible Bucks Celtics first round matchup. They're tied right now for the 7th and 8th spot with the Wizards, 42-37. So if I was them, I would be keeping my close eye on the Bucks as they have 3 games left in their season. I would keep a very close eye on that. You do not want to see Giannis in the first round, and that Bucks team I think is a lot better than maybe they've been pegged. They started to figure things out. So I would rather see a beat up Wizards team, and a Wizards team that just lost to the Bulls not even a week ago. So I'd way rather see them. But I think this is more of a test too to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. See what these guys are made of, and see what the leadership skills of the Al Horford have, and what kind of fight the Celtics team has in it. For Brad Stevens, I think that's the goal that you try to get out of this team is scrap together and see what you got out of your young guys and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and see what kind of leadership skills those guys have when your 2 stars go down. I think that's really where you're going to see the best of these guys and really see what they could potentially turn into. So if they fold up and die and it's a series in 5 where the Celtics get knocked off by a potential Bucks team, it's going to be pretty disappointing. But obviously without their 2 stars, you're going to be looking ahead to next season. So I'm sure Celtics fans are freaking out right now. They probably didn't want to hear this news. 2 of their biggest stars out after an incredible season at 53-25 with a few games left. But we're going to see him tonight. So hopefully, the Bulls can maybe hang around for a little bit, but let's not win another game here.
No, let's not get crazy. Also, did you see the Nets picked up a win against the Bucks last night?
Yeah, so that's huge.
Nets are at 26 wins now, whereas the Bulls and Knicks are both at 27. So if we can somehow get that pathetic Knicks squad one more win and lose both to Brooklyn, we can still be in okay shape.
Yeah, I saw some people joking about Felicio going off for like 25, 12, and 10 tonight or something ridiculous. The Bulls pull off a win. Oh, man, that would just be the perfect capping to what is a destructive dreams of a top 10 now being dead. But, yeah, I mean, maybe we can squeak out and look for a possible 7 there. Like we said, the Nets series coming up on Saturday, tomorrow, and on Monday is going to be huge. Hoping the Bulls both lose both of those games, put themselves in the best opportunity they can, at least at this point, to try and move up 1 or 2 spots.
If Justin Holiday or Bobby Portis or Lauri Markkanen play any minutes in the fourth quarter of either of those games, I'm going to hunt Fred Hoiberg down and slap him across the face.
Oh, man. Just real quick, I know we had somebody on Twitter comment about like us talking about Justin Holiday getting fourth quarter minutes late, saying, oh, you guys are talking about him like he's James Harden, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, like Justin Holiday is probably what? The first or the second best 3-point shooter on this team, a guy that when he gets hot can knock down buckets from anywhere. Like, yes, he has in turn times where he goes 3 for 20.
Justin Holiday is one of the biggest reasons the Bulls won that stupid game against the stupid Charlotte Hornets the other night, because Cristiano Felicio was grabbing O-boards and kicking them out to Holiday in the fourth quarter, and Holiday was knocking down shots in the fourth quarter.
So the reason why I even brought up the explanation, too. It's like Justin Holiday was in the game maybe just to offset what Sean Kilpatrick was doing that fourth quarter. But still, like, Justin, how, like, there's other players on this team that can be in that game, in that situation where they're not more likely to knock down the bucket than they aren't. So that's why we were talking Justin Holiday in that perspective. Like, yes, obviously over a course of a couple games, he can have a game where he goes 3-for-17, but he also could have games where he goes 9-for-15. So maximize your opportunity to lose the game without actually saying you're going to lose the game.
Exactly. And you know what, Fred Hoiberg, tell the guys we're almost at the home stretch. Or we are in the home stretch. We're almost at the finish line. We've got this home and away with Brooklyn. If you guys want to go out in Manhattan and party it up at the clubs the night before we play the Nets, you are free to do so.
Just pull everybody out and throw like your throw Omer Sheik out there for the last 4 minutes like the Dallas Mavericks did the other night, where there were guys on the court I had no idea even played in the NBA. Like, they had signed a small deals, 10-day contracts, whatever it was, but Harrison Barnes and some of their important players were not on the floor late, and people were getting all pissed off.
I mean, the Grizzlies have been doing that with Marc Gasol since like February.
So pretty funny. Obviously, if you're still clinging to an opportunity, the Bulls do have a chance to maybe slide up. An outside chance, this Nets series is going to be way more important. So let's lock up that loss tonight against the Celtics and move on to Brooklyn on Saturday. Wrapping up the season, it's going to be pretty crazy. Wrapping up the season on Wednesday, have a lot of things planned for the offseason we want to share with you guys to maybe talk to some tanking teams across our Locked On Podcast Network, see where other teams are standing right now before the 2018 draft, and just kind of give you an insight of where other teams are and where maybe the Bulls stack up compared to other organizations around the tanking league. So it should be a lot of fun. We'll have our reviews of each player this season, as well as free agency talk, and obviously everything leading up to the draft. So definitely stay with us here on Locked On Bulls as we wrap up the season next week, midday.
When are we picking that Joakim Noah autograph giveaway winner, Jordan?
Let's say we'll give to the end of the weekend. So Monday's episode, we'll start Monday's episode off with the pick for the winner. So the Joakim Noah autograph 16x20 picture, if you want to still enter for that, leave us a review on iTunes or any of the podcast platforms you choose. Takes 30 seconds. Take that review, screenshot that review, and send it to us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com, and you'll automatically be entered to win. If you don't know how to do this, we have a video posted on our Facebook page and on our Twitter feed, so you can just go there, watch the video. It takes literally, like I said, 30 seconds. You'll be entered to win this awesome prize, and this is a cool thing for maybe a basement or an office or wherever you want to hang it. It is awesome. Joakim Noah, one of the best Bulls out there. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, we're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. We're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Our text and voicemail line at 331-979-1369. Save that number in your phone as Locked On Bulls. Wherever you're listening to the show, whatever you're listening to the show, send your comments, questions, and even your voicemails into that number. Once again, 331-979-1369. For Jordan Malley and for Matt Peck, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy Bulls Celtics tonight and cross your fingers for a loss against the Nets on Saturday. We are Locked On Bulls and we are out. Have a great weekend.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.